Hail, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, hopefully, they're going to be the views of Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. And we're going to be talking about the most amazing document ever written. That and the Declaration of Independence are the very foundations of this country, and we've got people in Washington, D.C., at every level of government, in our courts, within the White House, within the Congress, who do not believe in the Constitution and have sworn an oath to uphold it. And these are subversive elements who, are, of course, have betrayed the oaths that they've sworn. And people really have to begin to understand that the thing that separates America from every other country is that the founding fathers, in their wisdom, knowing you could never trust men with power, because Lord Acton had written, power corrupts and power, absolute power corrupts absolutely. The men who founded this country limited the power of government so that the people could never vote themselves into a dictatorship. Because after all, it's only human nature to really oppose government giving money to others, but you'd always like to get money for yourself, wouldn't you? Now, would you object if money was going to come to you? We're all going to get an $800 bonus check from the government. At least every family is going to get it. And those of us on Social Security got to get an extra $225. And, I mean, who wants to turn down money when they just want to give it to us and to stimulate the economy? And aren't we all in favor of stimulating the economy? And then, of course, but of course, we're talking with almost $800 billion, almost $1 trillion of pork. I mean, here in California, we're going to get almost 1,900 pork projects, in other words, projects which are, of course, are all being created artificially to generate the money to try to stimulate the economy by pouring money into it. And what we're really doing is like fighting a fire with gasoline. I mean, we have a problem, and it's not a matter of liquidity. It is a matter of the fact that there are people who want to destroy our economy, and they're doing it. How do we know that? Well, very simply, they tell us that the big problem that we're facing today is the housing market, the fact that 10,000 people are getting a foreclosure notice on their home every single day, and they've had the money. They had this $700 billion. Henry Paulson, Hank Paulson of the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, got the, back October 3rd, and he steadfastly refused to try to do something. But they tell us, oh, we're in a couple of weeks, we're going to do something. That was 4.5 months ago, ladies and gentlemen. They do not intend to try to stop the problem. And until you understand that, very little of what's going on makes sense today. And we can go into so many of the things that they were doing. One of the interesting things is they've stopped the big banks, of course, have written letters of credit. And, of course, a letter of credit is, the fellow over there in Shanghai is making widgets, and he wants to make $1 million worth of widgets and sell it over here, but he's not going to sell it until he gets the money, and the people over here aren't going to send the money until they have the widgets in hand. So basically, you take your $1 million, you deposit with the bank, they write a letter of credit, and then, of course, the fellow over in Shanghai, sure, he's going to get the money when the widgets get here, and everybody's happy. The widgets don't get here, why the fellow gets his money back. That's how, of course, they've managed to finance this whole financial system for a long period of time, and now the big banks are not writing letters of credit. Why? Because they want to bring the whole system down, and so they're really discouraging imports and trade. They know exactly what they're doing. They've soaked up, dried up so many of the elements, as far as the credit is concerned. They're intentionally not making loans, dried up small business loans. Give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and so far we seem to be having troubles with getting our regularly scheduled guests, so we're going to, Chris, going to have to ask you to forego with us, and if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question or comment, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and I guess we've got Pastor David Whitney on the line. Hi, David, how are you doing?
Great. How about yourself this evening?
No question at all. Well, anyway, Sydney, we were just giving the people the background. If we were adhering to the Constitution, we would not be in the mess we are today. If we had this gold and silver backed currency, we would not be having a problem.
That's absolutely right. And when you stick to the plan our founders designed, you have prosperity for everyone who wants to work hard. But we have long departed from that plan. And the result is disastrous for everyone except the power elite that we know are trying to throw us into a new world order away from a constitutional republic. Well, our founders faced a similar tyranny, and that tyrant was King George III. And when they had experienced a bit of this over a number of years, they began to meet together in 1774 to draft a series of request for the king to change, that is, to go back and to obey the law, which was the agreements the king had drafted with each of the 13 colonies. And the king's response to all of their petitions and redress of grievance was to send an army and then begin firing upon them, Lexington and Concord. And they knew very quickly that what they had attempted to do to redress grievances, the king was not going to answer them except with hot lead. And that led, of course, to their gathering in Philadelphia in 1776 to draft the Declaration of Independence. And it's important to remember that they did not hastily jump into this. It was not something that would have been their first choice. It was a realization that they were pushed into this by a tyrannical king who would not obey the laws of nature and nature's God. Instead, he was going to do what he pleased, because he had this theory in his head, the divine right of kings. That is, the law is whatever comes out of the king's mouth. And whatever the king says it is, that's what the law is. And our founders knew, no, that is not the law. In fact, God's word makes it very clear that the civil magistrate is a minister of God, which means he's accountable to follow the law of God, doing the will of God, bringing justice according to God's word and God's law. So when they sat down to draft this, Jefferson being the prime drafter...
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and go right ahead.
Well, when they sat down to draft this, they actually had focused on 28 reasons. We've, in previous programs, talked about the basic presuppositions that... were laid down. There is a creator God. Our rights come from that creator God, not from government. And the sole purpose of government is to secure those God-given rights. And an additional right we have is that when government doesn't do that job that God has given to it, then we the people have an additional right to abolish that government or to alter it, to establish a government that will protect our God-given rights.
And I think it's so important that for people to understand that really the Declaration of Independence was the preamble to the Constitution. It was looked upon that by our founding fathers, and they even refer to the Declaration of Independence in the Constitution. So what was so vitally important? People say, oh, well, the Constitution doesn't talk about God. Well, of course, it does talk about God, you know, in the day of our Lord, and there's several references. But the major thing that the whole Constitution was written to guarantee what was laid out in the Declaration of Independence, and that is that our God-given rights, and it basically says to secure these rights, which were life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, governments instituted among men deriving their power from the consent of the governed. And what were those rights? Well, they came from our Creator. That was very clear in the second paragraph of the Declaration. The fact that this is not taught in school, the fact that they have intentionally taken God out of our schools, why? Because they want to remove that concept of God and replace it with the government being all-powerful. There are people who want a dictatorship in America. They've created this financial crisis to bring about a dictatorship in America. They're not trying trying to solve the problem because, of course, they believe that this crisis is an opportunity, and that's what, of course, Rahm Emanuel, who's the CEO, who's the chief of staff there at the White House, has said, this is an opportunity. This is what Henry Kissinger has said. This is an opportunity. Those are their words, not mine. We need to get back to the Constitution and realize that our freedom comes from God, and government cannot give us freedom. It can only take it away. But go right ahead, David.
And our founders knew that, and as they looked at what King George had done, they listed 28 specific things, 28 ways in which the king had violated the laws of nature and nature's God. And very informative to look at this list. I dare say, really, if you ask the average American why we separated from Great Britain, if they have any answer at all, they'll say, oh yeah, taxation without representation. Well, it's true, that is one of the 28. But actually, when you look at the list of the 28, it's important to see that although that was one, it was one of the minor reasons why. It was not the major reason why. The major reason had to do with his abuse of the legislative branch of government. He refused, they say, to assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. Forbidden governors to pass laws of immediate pressing importance. So there's a whole section, you might say almost a quarter of that list of 28 deals with the king's abuse of the legislative branch of government. He refused to pass laws for the accommodation of large districts of our people. He called together the legislative body at places unusual, uncomfortable, distant from the depository of their public records, and so on. And he's dissolved the representative houses repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness his invasions of the rights of the people. So as the people began to say, the king is out of line, he would just disband the legislature of the particular colonies that were beginning to stir in their desire to see themselves being able to follow the laws of nature and nature's God. And then when he's dissolved those legislatures, he has taken a long time and refused for others to be elected, and so the legislative powers, which they rightly say are incapable of annihilation, that is, the people always have the right to be representative in the legislative branch, and because he disbanded those legislatures, that for a long time the people remained exposed to all dangers of invasion from without and convulsions from within. Furthermore, he's obstructed the administration of justice. And so another major area of the king's violation is in the judicial branch. He's twisted the judicial branch around instead of doing justice, instead of enforcing the laws of nature and nature's God. The Justice Department basically and the judges do what he wants them to do. For example, he's made the judges dependent on his will alone for their tenure of office, the amount and payment of their salaries. And so the king has done violence to an Englishman's rights, God-given rights, that, although they didn't have a written constitution, they had an unwritten constitution, and certainly the Magna Carta, and there was a long tradition of what an Englishman's rights were. He was violating these wholesale from one end to another, both in the legislative branch and in the judicial branch. And then look at what he did in the military. He began to keep among us, in times of peace, standing armies without the consent of our legislature. And here's one of the very important things that our founders realized, so important that they not only recognized here in the Declaration of Independence, but when they wrote our Constitution, they made provisions to prevent a standing army from being formed. That is, the army could only be called up when a declaration of war was brought about, and at all other times, the army really was just a state militia that was under the control of the governors of each of the states and was there to protect the state from invasion or deal with disasters that might occur within that state. But it was not nationalized unless there was a declaration of war. Our current form of government has violated this principle now for close to 100 years. We've been keeping a standing army. And our founders knew that when you keep a standing army around, only one thing happens. Some tyrant or petty tyrant is going to use that standing army to attempt to accomplish his aim of building himself an empire. A standing army is dangerous to liberty and should be prohibited. And that's what our founders saw and therefore tried to protect us against that. And sad to say, our our current administration, the past 100 years of administrations, have been violating this principle, keeping standing armies in times of peace. It also attempted to render the military independent and superior to the civil power, turning things on its head so that the military becomes a danger to our God-given rights. Again, we see that with the Military Commissions Act in our land, and with the erasure of posse comitatus, which prevented our military from at all doing any police work in these United States. Now we've got the military attached to the Northern Command, and I forget, is it 20,000 troops? Stan, you probably remember the numbers better than I do, but we have the same thing going on today. Our government, you could see, as similar to tyrant George III, is keeping a standing army among us in times of peace, and he's making that standing army, that military, independent and superior to the civil power. All he has to do, the current dictator-in-chief, all he has to do is declare, oh, there's an emergency, national emergency, and martial law, and all of a sudden the military is on the street, just like in New Orleans, in the military there, we saw violating the law, the Second Amendment, and so on. That is a danger that Americans ought to recognize from studying our founding documents.
And I think one thing you have to remember about Katrina was they were actually going around and collecting the guns from people who needed the guns to protect them because you had no law and order, you had no police force there. Why would they take the guns away from the people? I believe it was this whole thing was an experiment to see exactly how they would organize now at another time when they create another crisis. I mean, that whole situation was handled totally inappropriately, and basically people wanted to come in. They were trying to come in. People from all over the country were sending supplies in, the things that people needed. People were willing to bring in their boats. They were willing to bring in helicopters. They were willing to try to help the people, and they didn't want it. They blocked the people with boats. They blocked the people with helicopters from coming in. They did everything they could to create the crisis so they could justify bringing in the military. People say, oh, that could never happen in America. And I would like to suggest if we would go ahead and invade Iraq on the basis of a lie and kill hundreds of thousands, if not a million, civilians over there, why would we think that they would not do the same thing here in America? And they didn't kill that many. Only a handful of people died. But they certainly blocked people from coming in and bringing in supplies. And then they went around and collected the guns and from law-abiding citizens and forced them out of their homes when they were in no danger to anybody. In fact, they were far more secure that they were going to be in the detention camps. And then they set up detention camps. And they had all sorts of trailers there that had toxic formaldehyde in them. And many of the poor people, most of them blacks, who were in those homes, their health was permanently damaged by the formaldehyde. And they knew what they were doing. These people are not stupid. We're talking about literally hundreds of thousands of people being displaced. But go right ahead.
Yes, so we ought to take a warning from our founders that a standing army is a dangerous thing. It's extremely dangerous when you give the military independent powers and place the military in a police kind of function. This is extremely dangerous. And our founders knew from their own experience with the redcoats on the streets of the colonies. They knew they were not safe, the Boston Massacre being one example of that. And we know that with the presidential edicts, that's what they are. They're not law, but the presidential executive orders of the 43rd President Bush, it set up an entire structure that at the drop of a hat, just declare emergency, and we basically have a military takeover of our country. And that's what our founders feared, and that's what they protested against, the evils that King George III had done.
If anybody doubts that this is part of the plan, you need to get a concentration camp special and hear the congressman talking about what we're talking about. You need to get our talk on the planned police state and the syllabus that goes with that. And then ask yourself, why are they refurbishing those Japanese concentration camps? Why are they building new so-called detention camps within military facilities? Why they've rehabilitated literally dozens of concentration camps across America? What do they know? Do they know there's going to be crisis in the coming economic turmoil? David, go right ahead.
Well, it's interesting looking at some of the terms they use in this list of 28. For example, number 13 says he's combined with others to subject.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com.
Not taught about the Declaration of Independence, the concept that our laws come from God, and that, of course, that is the law of our land. The Bible was the basis of the Constitution is the basis of the laws of this land. But this cannot be taught in school. Why? Because, of course, they put people onto the Supreme Court who were there to destroy the Christian foundation of our nation. They have, and nobody will talk about it. Go right ahead, David.
We were saying before the break that the theory today among the tyrants that are in power is that the law is whatever rolls off their pen, what the legislature drafts and then they send to the president, and he would, quote, we say he signs it into law, and the judiciary then weighs in with their opinion. That's all they can render, an opinion. They don't make law. But they weigh in with their pen, rendering and saying, well, yeah, this legislation is legal. Yes, this legislation is constitutional. So my description of today's tyrants is that they believe that law is whatever rolls off their pen, that there's no higher standard than them. And so if they pass a piece of legislation, it doesn't matter if it violates the Constitution. It doesn't matter if it's a violation of the supreme law of the universe, God's word, the Bible. They don't care. They claim that it is law, and you had better be subject to our tyrannical law. That's exactly what our founders decried in this Declaration of Independence, and it's exactly what they said, because the king has violated God's law, the laws of nature and nature's God. We have a right to separate from him and form our own government. We no longer have to be under the tyrannical heel of this wicked king and his wicked laws. It's interesting that along the lines of his abuse of the judiciary is also that he has denied us in many cases, depriving us in many cases of the benefits of trial by jury. Very important principle that everyone understood, that you have a God-given right to be judged by a jury of your peers. That is, the judge is not the one who is going to convict you of a crime. It's your fellow citizens who, looking at that situation, can determine if the law itself is legitimate, because that's the first job of the jury. Looking at the law, is this law legal? Which many people say, well, how can you ask that question? The law is always legal if it's a law. No, it's not. As our founder said, there is legitimate legislation and there is pretended legislation. And the first job of a jury is to look at a piece of legislation and determine, is this pretended legislation or is it legitimate legislation? Only if it's legitimate legislation can we then apply it in this case and look at the facts of, in terms of this person accused of having violated this piece of legislation. And so one of the things that the king did is he deprived them of the benefit of trial by jury of their peers by taking them from here in the colonies across the sea to be tried in London. And, of course, in there in London, they're not faced with a jury of their peers, even though they're Englishmen. These are Englishmen who have no idea what things are like in the colonies, have no knowledge of this individual whatsoever, etc., and are not going to render justice in this case because they do not know the circumstances surrounding what life is like in the colonies. They continue to say that the king has taken away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our government. Dr. Sand, this is exactly what Washington, D.C. has done to us. They have taken away our Constitution. They give lip service to it. I know that the current 44th president here in his inaugural address tossed off a bone that he was following the Founding Fathers and continuing the great tradition of following the Constitution. Flagrant, outright lies, which he violated within minutes of having taken his oath of office. He probably knew he was lying through his teeth on this, which means he's going to have to answer to Almighty God on Judgment Day with eternal hell to pay if he doesn't repent before then. But the King of England had done the same thing, abolishing the most valuable laws, altering fundamentally the forms of our government. And this is astonishing when you read this list of 28 things in our Declaration of Independence to see how many of them directly describe what our current wicked administration in Washington, D.C. has done. And we, the people, need to rise up as our founders did and say, enough with this. We will not tolerate this abuse of our God-given rights. We have a right to establish or to reform and return to a good constitutional government.
Well, of course, what we need to do is teach the people about the Constitution, explain to them what's going on today, that certainly Obama is simply a figurehead for the power elite. They controlled the Bush administration before him, and then the Clinton administration before that, and then the first Bush administration, and the Reagan administration, and the Carter administration. And who are they? Why, of course, they are the Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, Bilderbergers. I mean, it's not simply by chance that the Barack Obama has, in key positions on his administration, certainly 11 members of the Trilateral Commission. And we'll be back in just a moment here. Well, yeah, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. Go right ahead, David.
Well, in addition to that, he has abdicated government here by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. And we could say what's taking place in Washington, D.C. these days with the bailout really is waging financial war against us. And Dr. Stan, in many of your other programs, you deal with the details of this, but just enough to summarize it. They are inflating the currency and directly stealing out of the pockets of Americans in these multi-trillion dollar bailouts. What they're doing is direct theft from us that we're going to see in terms of inflation, if not hyperinflation, a little piece down the road as a result of this. And the king, it says here, number 25, he's transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, desolation, and tyranny already begun. Very interesting that our military, as many of your listeners probably already know, is hiring mercenaries. They're hiring foreign people and promising them all kinds of pay incentives and maybe even citizenship and so on. Hiring mercenaries into our army because they can't fill the ranks quickly enough with Americans. But this pattern is astonishing in how much of what was done by King George III is being done again today. I know there's a lot of talk about a draft, and indeed they'll probably institute a draft at some point in time, and a draft is really a violation of the 13th Amendment that says no involuntary servitude is permissible, and that the draft is nothing other than involuntary servitude. Well, the King of England did the same thing. In 26, it says he constrained our fellow citizens taken captive on the high seas to bear arms against their country. He has excited domestic insurrections among us. In other words, the king was involved in fomenting terrorist actions against the colonists. Specifically, that is, on the frontiers, he was paying the Indians to attack, the Indian savages there, to attack the colonists who were on the frontiers. And it says, indistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. A barbaric kind of warfare was being conducted. And then in every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. And notice their summary. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. And in their conclusion, they're saying, we have a God-given right to cast off his authority because he has abdicated his authority as king.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Pastor David Whitney. And, of course, this is the time when I need to invite you, if you'd like to give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But before I go on, David, I'd like you to go ahead and give out your telephone number, your website. Tell people about the Institute of the Constitution, why they need to learn our Constitution, and how they can help teach it to people across America. Because if there's any hope that we're going to save America, it's going to be this country's going to return to God, and we're going to return to the Constitution. Otherwise, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations win, and we lose our freedom, and we go into a one-world government with a new world leader. Go right ahead.
That's absolutely right, Dr. Stan. And it is encouraging as I talk to people around the country who are purchasing a host kit, beginning a class, a study group in their community, or many people doing it in their church. I know a number of people who are homeschoolers using it as a way to teach a group of homeschoolers basic civics and understanding of our history and understanding of our true form of government that is described in the Declaration, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. People can get a host kit themselves by going to our website, and that website for Institute on the Constitution is iotconline.com. That's iotconline.com. When they come up there at the very top of the first page, they can click on a button to order a host kit. Or another option we have recently added is that you can take the course online. In that same spot, you can click an online button, sign up, and pay the small fee to take an online course where you see the videos and take the test questions and walk through the course. 12 lectures by constitutional law professor John Eidsmo, 2 lectures by David Barton, And this is a turnkey system by which really anybody can take the materials on DVD or even at VHS if people need that, but can conduct a class with a group of fellow citizens to train them in these essential documents. Every American needs to be trained in these in order for us to restore the Republic. And it's not that hard to do. Anyone can do it. It doesn't take any background training in history or law to do it. In fact, you're probably better off not having been trained in those if then your slate is clean in terms of the distortions that are typically taught in law school and in history profession as well. And also, if people would prefer to call us and order it during East Coast business hours, they can call us toll-free at Institute on the Constitution. That toll-free number is 866-730-9796. That toll-free number again for Institute on the Constitution is 866-730-9796. And we are encouraging citizens all over our country in all states to take this host kit, go ahead, gather a group of people together, and begin to educate yourselves, your family, your friends, your fellow church members, because we need an army of Americans armed with this understanding to demand the federal government back down, the federal government get back within the boundaries. And the encouraging thing to me, for me, Dr. Stan, is here in my own home state, we've had a number of our state delegates take the course, and I've got one piece of legislation that looks like a direct result of that, which is an honest money resolution from the state of Maryland, which is a liberal state, and so it may not make it to the governor's desk, but nonetheless, to have an honest money resolution being proposed in the House and moving through, calling for an end to the Fed, a return to gold and silver money, that's very encouraging that some of our legislators get it, and they are trying to demand that the federal government return to a constitutionally sound money. Other states like New Hampshire are doing this. I've heard rumors of other states also considering it, Pennsylvania. That I know that this financial crisis might actually be the best thing for us, because it will wake up everybody when they get hit in the pocketbook to say something is desperately wrong. And what that is our federal government has completely gone off the tracks, completely violating the Constitution from every which angle you can imagine, and the only way to get it back in line is for the citizens to know those documents clearly enough to be able to tell and hold the elected officials' feet to the fire, hold them accountable to the standard. But we got to know the standard before we can accomplish that.
I'm into that. And, of course, one of the problems in America is we've turned over the ability to create money to a privately owned central bank. The Fed is not a government agency. You can look under government agencies in San Francisco, Federal Reserve Bank there, and a Federal Reserve Bank isn't listed under government agencies because it's not a government agency. It's a privately run a bank that has the ability to make the money, to control the economy, to inflate and give us good times, and of course, as they're doing today, intentionally and purposely and maliciously to contract. This is totally unnecessary. The cascade of home loans, over 10,000 people a day are now receiving a notice for foreclosure, is totally unnecessary. They issued the artificial bonds, the fraudulent bonds. Why don't we insist that the people who actually issued those bonds take them back and pay the people who they sold them to compensation? These banks have trillions of dollars that they've made in profits. We've wrecked the economy of the entire world. Why don't we hold the people who sold the fraudulent bonds responsible? Why don't we hold the people who issued the fraudulent AAA ratings responsible? Why don't we hold the people who wrote the fraudulent insurance policies, they call them the debentures, responsible insurance policies with no money behind them? Nobody ever talks about that. All we talk about are the junkets of Wells Fargo to Las Vegas and the bonuses that the people are getting, which I certainly disagree with. But what they're doing is focus their attention on the wrong issues. Let's quickly go to Ray, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Ray, do you have a question for our guest?
Good evening, Ray. Are you there?
Ray, do you have a question for our guest?
I do. Would you agree that, in some sense of the word, the executive branch has become merged with the judicial branch, in a sense, over the past decade? It's very scary to me, because I think the judges are in line with whoever's president, and it shouldn't be that way. Judges are, I think, corrupt.
Okay, let's go ahead and get David's opinion.
Yeah, Supreme Court judges.
Thank you very much for the question, Ray. Are you concerned at all that the judges seem to be going along, rather than, you know, interpreting the Constitution from a constitutional point of view, they're doing what's politically correct or what will please the executive branch of government?
Well, certainly. That is the case, that we see all three branches of government really are guilty of this. Each of those branches was designed to be a check against the other branch. If the other branch stepped out of line and began violating the Constitution, if it was the president, then he was to be impeached by the legislative branch and so on. And the judges were certainly to strike down any unconstitutional legislation, things like the McCain-Feingold or Patriot Act. They should have been striking those down immediately upon the signature of the president. They immediately should have responded rather than waiting and not doing anything, basically. So what you almost have, you could say, is a collusion among all three branches, not just the executive and the judicial, but the legislative as well, a collusion to violate our Constitution. So all three branches together, instead of checking and balancing one another, and the sinful tendency of man is to always expand power, all three branches decided we're going to work together to violate the supreme law of the land, our Constitution, and that is a grave danger to we the people. We don't have justices. Even the best justices are not holding the feet to the fire that they should be on a whole host of issues, and we've got to replace them all from top to bottom.
Okay, anything else, Ray?
Well, I can only say that the other thing, too, that we have to be really on our toes about this thing. In Nazi Germany, the judges sentenced people to be sterilized. 400,000 people were sterilized.
But don't forget, those ideas came right here from the United States.
Right.
We began sterilizing much earlier than the Nazis did. But they never talk about that here. And it was financed, thanks to our good friend, the Rockefellers, who funded the whole thing and are already running so much of the terrible things that are going on today. Thanks very much, Ray. And certainly, you know, the one other policy that I think should be mentioned is we did not have simply the executive, the judicial, and the legislative. We also have the states that act as a barrier to excessive power on the part of government. Unfortunately, now that the federal government passes money out to the states, most state legislatures are afraid to speak out. Certainly here in this wonderful bailout bill, we're going to give I don't know how many billions of dollars to California and all the other states to buy their support. What we need is, of course, a situation where, of course, we restrict the money that the federal government has and leave it at the state and the local level rather than give it to the federal government, where they can buy the support of congressmen, they can buy the support of the judges, they can buy the support of the states, and, of course, we're moving rapidly towards a fascist society. Go right ahead, David.
Well, as they wrap up their conclusion in the Declaration of Independence, it's very important, again, like you said, that people who want to say that our founders formed a non-Christian, a secular republic or so forth, they're lying, and the evidence is right here in the Declaration, not only in the opening statements about our Creator and our rights coming from the Creator God, but in the closing statements, they say that they are appealing to the supreme judge of the world, that is, to God, the God of the Bible, for the rectitude of our intentions. That is, they're asking God to judge them, to evaluate their intentions and their motives in what they are doing. They're appealing to him to basically say that what they have done is correct according to his law. And furthermore, they then at the end say, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. These were not deists, as is commonly the lie that's commonly thrown around. A deist believes that God is like a watchmaker, created the universe, wound it up, set it into motion, and then has absolutely nothing to do with it at all. He has no involvement with it on a day-to-day basis. He doesn't answer prayer. Well, here they're appealing to him. Here they're saying that he is actively involved in the world, protection of divine providence. So right there in the very text of the Declaration, it refutes the idea that these were deists. These were Christians. Now, not all of them were Orthodox Christians. Perhaps Jefferson never was, and so on. But they were understanding a biblical view of law and government, understanding that it was God's word that is supreme over any of man's law. The other interesting thing is when you look at the actual text of the Declaration of Independence, you'll find what most people think is a misspelling. Right in the very beginning, Unanimous Declaration of the 13 United States, United is in lowercase. That is not a capital U, it's lowercase. States are capitalized as well as America is capitalized, and there's a very important reason for that. The word United in the phrase United States was an adjective. It described the states. It was not a title of our country. No, indeed, it was just a description that these states have united together, all 13 states have united together in writing this Declaration of Independence. And indeed, when the war did come to an end and finally the Treaty of Paris was signed, in essence, the King of England signed a separate peace treaty with each of the 13 states that were formed as a result of this Declaration of Independence. Why? Each of these 13 states was an independent, separate political entity. They were a nation, in a sense, unto themselves. And they agreed together in forming first the Articles of Confederation. They agreed together for certain purposes, limited purposes, to participate together as a united series of countries, a confederation of countries, if you will. And this is an important principle that was long ago forgotten because of the war to prevent Southern independence. Up until that war to prevent Southern independence, every state knew it had the right to secede from the Union. It came voluntarily into the Union as a independent sovereign state, and it could voluntarily leave the Union as an independent sovereign state. In fact, some of the states, Virginia and I think New York and one of the other states, in their ratifying statement, that is, as they ratified the Constitution, they made it explicitly clear that they reserve the right to secede from the Union. And indeed, that's what Vermont did, is in the process of doing, at least in their resolution. They say, basically, if the federal government crosses these and these lines, one being the Second Amendment, or if the federal government declares martial law in any of the states, so forth, that they then, the state of New Hampshire, returns to themselves those powers that they granted to the federal government in the Constitution. In other words, New Hampshire was saying it will secede from the Union. Montana said a similar thing over the Second Amendment case that was being heard in D.C. By the Supreme Court, the Heller case. It ruled incorrectly that Montana was basically seceding from the Union. 14 southern states, including Maryland, have groups working in their midst that are basically drafting a series of grievances to the federal government, the implication being that if the federal government refuses to return to its constitutional boundaries, then those 14 states will move towards seceding from the Union. This is one of, Dr. Stan, as you were saying, this is one of the checks on the powers of the federal government. The states were to protect we the people, the individual citizens, from a tyrannical and abusive federal government. When the federal government got out of line, then the states were to step in and prevent it from abusing its power. But the states, like you say, have been bribed by this fiat currency money being given to them by the federal government to not do what they are supposed to be doing.
Now, I think it's important that people really understand that the reason that the founding fathers wanted to limit the power of government, because they realized that if they kept the power at the state level, it would be much harder to have 13 dictatorships than simply one centralized dictatorship. And it was the fear that Washington, D.C. would take all the power and that we would have a dictatorship. And you go back and you read the things that Thomas Jefferson wrote. And one of the things he wrote, you know, when the time ever comes when all power, it will be centralized in Washington, D.C., we will have a government as tyrannical as that which we recently separated from. And that was the fear of our founding fathers. So how is it they're getting all the power in Washington, D.C.? Why, they're violating their oath to uphold the Constitution. Until people understand that there are people who really want a dictatorship in America, who do not believe in the Constitution, they work through the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers. They are a subversive group, and now, of course, we have the group of 30 we're learning about, and here, of course, six of the group of 30 just happen to be, well, they happen to be members of the Trilateral Commission. One of them is the current Secretary of State. Another one is the Chief Economic Advisor to the President, Paul Volcker. And, of course, they've even got the head of the Bank of China on this little group. What's the head of the Bank of China doing in a group that's financed by Goldman Sachs and by the American Investment Group, AIG, and, well, basically nothing as it appears to be. There are powerful spiritual forces that energize this whole situation. Our guest has, of course, been Pastor David Whitney, and we're going to, we have a couple of people on the line. We'll take them during the break. But, David, I want to thank you so very much for being with us. It's so vitally important that people understand that the only protection we have from a dictatorship in America is the knowledge of the people about the Constitution and the recognition of the fact that there are subversives working at the highest levels of our government right here in the United States today. We'll be back in just a minute to wrap up this evening's program here at Radio Liberty. Well, we've got Mike on the line. Hi, Mike. Do you have a question for our guest?
Mike. Well, just more like a comment about all the power being consolidated in Washington, D.C. If I could beg to differ, I'd...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-.
Is iotconline.com, and there order a host kit, or there's many other materials that can help them understand our Constitution and how to restore our constitutional republic.
God bless you, and thank you.
Happy birthday, Dr. Stan. God bless you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Right. Anyway, Chris, I hope you've enjoyed Pastor David Whitney, and Chris, his information is vitally important. And people have to really understand the foundations of our freedom if we hope to maintain it. So your job is to get the information and get it to others. And then, of course, as they begin to understand what this is about and the spiritual nature of the battle, hopefully they'll join us in this epic struggle for the souls of men and the Survival of Christian Civilization. We have, of course, some great DVDs with Pastor Billy Crone, the Final Countdown, Parts 1 and 2, the 10 DVDs, 5 in each, and then we have a section, his production on creation and RFID chips. Hopefully we'll soon have some of his other productions. They're entertaining, they're good sound Bible, and of course you're going to learn about a lot about the scriptures as well as learning about what is going on in the world today. That's The Final Countdown by Pastor Billy Crone, and you can give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and learn about that. We got a great new book. It's called The Money Creators. It was written back in 1935 by Gertrude Coogan. And of course, she was writing about the fraudulent Federal Reserve System we had at that time, which is subservient to the big bankers who at that time had created an economic contraction just exactly as they're doing today, but they've got to put on this whole great big act. You know, oh my goodness, we just don't know why this is happening. We've just got to spend more money. We've got to give more money to the banks. We've got to transfer the wealth of the American people to the banks. If we don't do that, why, we're going to have a real problem. Ladies and gentlemen, if we transfer the wealth of the people to the banks and then they inflate away the value of our currency, we will all be living as paupers and slaves in our own country, as will our children. You have to understand how this system has worked. And basically, they can leverage money up to, they can borrow money literally for nothing from the Federal Reserve and lend it out at 40 to 1. And you mean to tell me these banks don't, you know, have enough money to lend? Of course they do. They are creating an artificial problem because they want, of course, to increase the power of the government over our lives. And they really want socialism. They want an all-powerful government because they will control the government. We will have the finest politicians that money can buy, men like Barack Obama, who was put into power by the people who control the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, because they control the media. And why do you think his picture is repeatedly on the front of U.S. News? Mr. Zuckerman belongs to the Trilateral Commission. And Newsweek magazine, Mr. Graham, Donald Graham, CEO of Washington Post Company that publishes Newsweek, on the board of the Council on Foreign Relations. And the people who control the media in the United States are on the board of the Trilateral Commission or the Bilderbergers or the Council on Foreign Relations. And you go up on the Internet and get all of this information, and it's up to you to look it up and find it. You'd want to get a copy of the DVD, pardon me, of the new book we have on the money creators. You certainly would want to get the new DVD, The Eye of the Phoenix, because it goes into the emblem on the back of the dollar bill. And the president who put it there, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was deeply involved in Satanism, as have so many of our other presidents been. And people do not understand this. But, of course, we've had presidents who are members of a Luciferian society, where you actually have to, when you're being initiated, bow before a replica of Lucifer, and you want to see it, go to WilliamHKennedy.com or .org, and you can actually see the Skull and Bones initiation ceremony. Isn't it strange that out of all the country, the entire country, why two of our recent presidents have come from the 15 members a year who joined Skull and Bones, and of course one of them was a member of the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, and the Bilderbergers. Nothing as it appears to be. Please pray for America, but pray for revival, for our provision and our protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I do remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, of course, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Michael Shaw from Freedom Advocates, which is situated right here in Santa Cruz. And Michael's going to be talking about the master plan for the enslavement of the American people, about sustainable development and Agenda 21. And, of course, this gets on into this great scam of global warming. Literally every newspaper in the United States is under control because every newspaper is trying to convince you that global warming is a reality. And yet, of course, we're actually in a process of global cooling. And over the last 5 years, why, of course, the sea level has been dropping, but you're not going to read that in the controlled media. The temperature has been dropping, but you're not going to read about that in the controlled media, because they have to convince us that CO2 emissions are responsible for all the terrible problems we have. And the only solution is to go into the Kyoto Protocol, destroy the industrial potential of our nation by cutting back on the utilization of energy, so we won't be able to produce adequate electricity, or we won't be able to drive our cars, we won't be able to drive our trucks, we won't be able to have our airplanes. All of these are polluting the environment, and so to preserve the climate and keep us from having and all incinerating because of global warming as the temperature rises, we're just going to have to give up our freedom. And it's all a scam, ladies and gentlemen. The media is controlled. But with that as the background, Michael, thank you so very much for being with us again.
Well, Dr. Stan, it's very nice to be here. And the story you just told, I think, is the summary of the new video produced by Dr. Michael Kaufman called Global Warming, Emerging Science and Understanding. Now, this is a video, a 60-minute video, with world climate scientists from all points of the Earth, even some defectees from the United Nations International Panel on Climate Change. Well, these scientists make the compelling argument that man-made global warming is a scam. Now, this information is available free for teachers, from the seventh grade, I'd say, on up through high school and into college. You know, this video lays the reality of the global warming scam, which is so very important to understand, because that was one of the psychological manipulation tactics being deployed by this globalist cabal that has control of the American government and has now worked its way to where it has its finger, in it, on its global to local scale, where it has its finger on every county inside the United States. The globalist, global to local sustainable development package, UN-sponsored and American government-endorsed, program called Sustainable Development or Agenda 21, is in your community. And without that recognition, and without the appropriate response, America is doomed.
And I think it's really so vitally important that people understand that when you control the media, why, of course, you're able to control what the people think and believe. And this is a scam. There is no basis for it at all. I mean, over 30,000 scientists have signed a petition saying it's a scam, but you're never going to read about that in your local newspaper, I'll dare say. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Michael, why don't you go right ahead?
Well, just to follow on that first phase, Dr. Stan, that movie, Global Warming, is available through freedomadvocates.org website. You can call us on the phone at 831-684-2232 to get your copy.
the spreading of this kind of information is critical for the average American to come to their sense, to be able to realize that we are being taken by a ride to a new world order where human beings will be treated as chattel. We might as well call it for what it is. This scam is designed to create one of two worlds, in their own words. One world is an industrialized population of 1 billion people, meaning an 86% reduction in today's population. The other is a population base that can be considerably larger, provided that the whole world operates as peasants, subject, of course, to a world-ruling elite. Now, these are the choices that are being worked out between the globalists themselves. Oftentimes, they think, dependent upon how we react to being pushed one way or the other. We need to take cognizance of what drives this program called Sustainable Development, or Agenda 21, or we won't know the enemy. And the enemy has unfortunately been shown to be very serious. It is to create an international order, a one world, if you will, a one world political economic system, where the idea and ideals of unalienable rights are to be forever forgotten in the annals of a human political system. And when that happens, everything that America has ever stood for, everything America means, will be vanished or banished from this earth for a very long time. The move towards sustainable development, Agenda 21, globalism, one world order, has been endorsed by both political parties of this country. And the words given to me by Dr. Ron Paul, the concept and the belief in the sustainable development system is absolute and uniform across the congressional floor. But Americans don't know what sustainable development is.
Well, we're going to tell them here, and we're going to be back in just a moment with Michael Shaw of Freedom Advocates here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Michael, you go ahead. You're going to tell us, certainly Michael was just saying that he's talked to Congressman Ron Paul, who says that, you know, certainly in the Congress of the United States, most of the congressmen support this idea of sustainable development. I mean, who could be against sustainable development? It sounds so good. But, of course, if you understand that you can substitute the word fascism for the word sustainable development, I don't think most people would want to accept that, but that's what it really is. It's all about centralized control over the individual in the name of sustaining the future, but of course it's all a phony argument. They really want control, but of course they appeal to the idealism of people, and of course people are foolish enough to accept their phony and faulty arguments and fallacious arguments, certainly will end up losing their freedom. The only trouble, we will as well. And that's why what Michael does is so vitally important. Michael, please go ahead.
Dr. Stan, I think that the reality here is that when people don't understand sustainable development, you become a sucker for one of its programs. And when you do that, you join into the forces that are trying to undo the American experience and individual liberty based upon the ideal of unalienable rights. It's worth talking about unalienable rights for a minute, because I've had communications lately with several freedom-loving academians, and there aren't many in academia that I sense have much of any real sense about what freedom is. But these two people do. And they put out both in the same week a declaration ascribing to the notion of inalienable rights. And so I wrote and suggested